A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's basically a cry for help from the trenches of self-employed parenting with an 11-month-old. He and Hannah are preparing to move apartments, no family in the country, part-time daycare only, and Ezra is mobile now. They just put up those block-off fences. But the real question is about gear. Daniel is constantly misplacing things. Power banks, pacifiers, whatever small object he had in his hand 3 seconds ago. He's got ADHD, his hands are always full, and he's wondering, is a tool belt actually the answer? Something goofy and unstylish, but might save his sanity if his essentials were always on his body. What would we recommend?
I love this question because it's not really about a tool belt. It's about externalizing working memory when your working memory is already running at 90% capacity, just keeping a tiny human alive.
The other 10% is remembering where you put the power bank that was literally in your hand.
Or, well, not exactly. But that's the mechanism. The core problem here is what cognitive psychologists call prospective memory. Remembering to remember. You need to grab a pacifier in 30 seconds when the current one hits the floor. You need your phone nearby when the pediatrician calls back. You need the power bank before the voice-to-text session dies mid-thought. And prospective memory is the first thing that degrades under sleep deprivation and divided attention, which is basically the definition of parenting an infant.
The tool belt is a prosthetic memory system.
It's a prosthetic memory system, and I think that's actually the right framing because it sidesteps the whole question of whether it looks goofy. You're in your own apartment. The only person judging you is an 11-month-old who thinks you're a hero for producing a banana from thin air.
Ezra's not writing a fashion column. At least not yet.
Give him a few months. But here's what I find interesting. Daniel mentioned he already picked up a clip-on speaker, which he said has been a game changer. That's a body-worn tool. He's already halfway to the concept. The question is, what else belongs on the rig?
That brings us to the actual shopping list. What are the essentials? And what's the carrier system that doesn't make you feel like you're cosplaying a construction worker at a birthday party?
Let's start with the loadout. I've actually thought about this quite a bit, not for parenting specifically, but from my medical days. When I was doing rounds in the pediatric ward, you had to have certain things on your body at all times. Stethoscope, pen light, prescription pad, pager back when pagers were still a thing, a couple of reference cards. If you had to go back to the nurse's station every time you needed something, you'd lose 15 minutes per patient. So you wore scrubs with exactly the right pockets, or in some cases a small belt pouch.
What's the parenting equivalent of a stethoscope and a pen light?
I'd say the core kit is probably 5 or 6 items. Power bank, because the phone is useless dead and voice-to-text drains battery faster than people realize. A pacifier or two, clean ones, and something that keeps them clean. A burp cloth or small muslin, because you will need it and it will never be where you are. Not a whole pack, but a small stash. And maybe a snack, for Ezra or for you, frankly.
The snack is for you. Let's be honest.
The snack is absolutely for you. Parenting is physically demanding in a way that nobody talks about. You're lifting, carrying, bending, chasing. Your caloric output goes up. And parents, especially self-employed parents working from home, often forget to eat until they're dizzy.
I've seen Daniel. He runs on coffee and whatever Ezra didn't finish.
Which is not a sustainable nutrition plan. So yes, a snack pouch. And I'd add one more thing that's specific to Daniel's situation, some kind of quick capture note tool. He mentioned using voice-to-text for work. That means ideas hit him while he's holding Ezra. If he can't capture them immediately, they're gone. ADHD brain plus infant distraction equals idea vaporization.
The loadout is phone, power bank, pacifier, muslin, wipes, snack, and some kind of capture device. That's 7 things. Pockets aren't going to cut it.
Pockets are not going to cut it. And here's where we get into the actual recommendation. There are basically 3 tiers of solution here. Tier 1 is what I'd call the stealth rig, things that don't look like a tool belt but function like one. Tier 2 is the actual tool belt or utility belt worn unapologetically. Tier 3 is the environmental approach. Stations placed around the apartment so you don't need to carry everything.
Let's walk through each.
Tier 1, the stealth rig. The best option I've seen here is actually a crossbody sling bag. Not a messenger bag. Too bulky, swings around when you bend over. I'm talking about the small, flat crossbody slings that sit high on your chest or back. Brands like Bellroy, Peak Design, even the Lululemon Everywhere belt bag, which became a meme for a reason. They're light, they don't get in the way when you're lifting a baby, and crucially, you can rotate them from front to back depending on what you're doing.
The Everywhere belt bag is basically a fanny pack for people who are too cool to call it a fanny pack.
It is exactly a fanny pack with rebranding, but the form factor works. The thing to look for is internal organization. If it's just one big cavity, you're still going to lose things in it. You want multiple compartments, ideally with some elastic loops or mesh pockets. The Bellroy light sling, for example, has a key clip, which is surprisingly useful. You can clip a pacifier to it.
Clip a pacifier to it? That's the kind of detail that changes a day.
It really is. The other tier one option is what I'd call the apron approach. There are actually companies making what they call parenting aprons or caregiver aprons, basically a canvas apron with lots of pockets. The advantage is full coverage, nothing swings, and you look like you're doing something purposeful. The disadvantage is, it's an apron. You're going to feel a little like a barista.
Which might be fine. Baristas are respected professionals.
Baristas are very respected. But if you're on a video call with a client, the apron might require some explanation. The crossbody sling you can just take off and set aside.
What about tier 2? The actual tool belt?
Tier 2 is where it gets interesting. If you're willing to embrace the look, and I think in your own home, you should be. A purpose-built utility belt is genuinely the most functional option. The key is not to buy an actual construction tool belt. Those are heavy, they're made of leather or thick nylon, they're designed to hold 20 pounds of tools. You don't need that. What you want is something lighter.
Not a DeWalt rig.
Not a DeWalt rig. What you want is closer to what a photographer or a film set technician wears. There's a whole category of lightweight utility belts and chest rigs that have come out of the everyday carry community. Think brands like Wandered, or the smaller pouches from Peak Design that can mount on any belt. You can build a modular system. One pouch for tech, phone, and power bank. One pouch for baby supplies, pacifier, wipes, muslin. One pouch for personal items, snack, keys, wallet.
Modular means you can strip down for different situations. Just the tech pouch if Ezra's napping and you're catching up on work.
And modular means you're not locked into one configuration. The downside is cost. These systems can add up. A good modular pouch system might run you $100 to $150 all in. But compared to the cost of lost productivity from constantly searching for things, it pays for itself pretty quickly.
There's a third T you mentioned, the environmental approach.
This is the station's concept. Instead of carrying everything, you set up small caches around the apartment. A small basket in the living room with wipes, pacifiers, a burp cloth. Another in the bedroom. Another near the changing area. The advantage is, you don't have to wear anything. The disadvantage is you have to maintain the stations, and an 11-month-old will absolutely discover them and redistribute the contents.
Ezra as entropy agent.
At 11 months, they're mobile and curious and everything goes in the mouth. A station at floor level is just a treasure chest. You can put them up high, but then you're reaching overhead while holding a baby. And with the move coming up, setting up stations in an apartment you're about to leave feels like wasted effort.
The environmental approach is probably the wrong call for someone about to move.
It's the wrong call for now. Post-move, in the new place, absolutely set up stations. But for the next few weeks, body-worn is the way to go.
Let's talk about the ADHD angle specifically, because I think that's what makes this more than just a parenting gear question.
It's the crucial piece. ADHD affects what's called working memory, the ability to hold information in mind while you're doing something else. Neurotypical people can hold about 4 to 7 items in working memory at once. With ADHD, that number is often lower, and the information decays faster. Add sleep deprivation, which also impairs working memory, and you're basically running on fumes.
Daniel's not forgetful in a character flaw way. His brain's working memory buffer is just smaller and leakier than average.
And the solution isn't to try harder. The solution is to offload. Every item that has a designated physical home on your body is one less thing your working memory has to track. You don't have to remember where the pacifier is because it's always in the left hip pouch. You don't have to remember to grab the power bank on your way to the other room because it's already on you.
The belt becomes the default. And defaults are powerful for ADHD brains.
There's a whole body of research on this, and I'm going to get a little nerdy here, around what's called choice architecture. The idea is that the environment shapes behavior more than willpower does. If the pacifiers are always in the pouch, you don't have to make a decision about where to find one. The decision is already made. For someone with ADHD, reducing the number of micro decisions in a day is energy saving.
It's not just about convenience. It's about conserving cognitive resources for the things that actually need them, like keeping Ezra alive.
Like not losing your mind during a move. Moving is one of the most stressful life events even without an infant. Adding ADHD to the mix, plus self-employment, Daniel's cognitive load right now is astronomical. Anything that reduces the number of things he has to actively remember is worth its weight in gold.
Which brings us back to the specific recommendation. If you had to pick one setup for Daniel, right now, today, what would it be?
I'd go tier 1 for now, with an upgrade path to tier 2. Start with a good crossbody sling, something like the Bellroy Light Sling or the Airday Sling, both of which have good internal organization. Load it with the essentials we talked about. Use it for a week. If it works but feels like it's swinging around too much when you bend down to pick up Ezra, that's your signal to move to a belt system.
If he wants to skip straight to the belt,
then I'd recommend starting simple. Don't go full modular right away. Get something like the Nomadic Accessory Belt or even just a lightweight running belt with multiple pockets, the kind ultra-marathoners use. Something like the Naked Running Band, which is basically a wide elastic belt with pockets all around. It sits flat, doesn't bounce, and you can fit an astonishing amount of stuff in it. Plus, it's $30 to $50 instead of $150.
A running belt. That's actually clever. It's designed for exactly this use case, carrying essentials while moving, just in a different context.
The running belt has one huge advantage over a tool belt. It's machine washable. With an infant, everything eventually gets covered in something. Spit up, drool, pureed sweet potato. You want gear you can throw in the washing machine.
That's the kind of detail that doesn't show up in product reviews, but absolutely matters in practice.
It matters enormously. I learned this the hard way in pediatrics. Anything that couldn't be wiped down or washed was basically disposable.
What about the clip-on speaker he mentioned? Where does that fit into the system?
The clip-on speaker is already body-worn, so it's part of the system by default. The question is whether it clips to the belt or the bag. If he goes with a crossbody sling, the speaker probably clips to the strap. If he goes with the belt, it clips to the belt. Either way, the principle is the same. It's on his body, always accessible, no searching required.
That's the whole philosophy. If it's on your body, you can't lose it. Or at least, you can only lose it in the sense of, where on my body did I put it? Which is a much smaller search space than somewhere in the apartment.
The search space reduction is the entire game. I think people underestimate how much mental energy goes into searching for things. There was a study a few years back, I think it was from the University of California, that found the average person spends something like 10 minutes a day just looking for misplaced items. For someone with ADHD, it's probably double or triple that. If you can reclaim even 15 minutes a day, that's an hour and 45 minutes a week. That's a nap. That's a work session. That's time with your wife when the baby is sleeping.
15 minutes a day is almost 2 full work weeks over a year.
It adds up fast. And that's just the time. There's also the frustration cost. Every time you can't find something, there's a micro spike of stress. Cortisol goes up, patience goes down, and patience is the number one resource in parenting. You cannot afford to deplete it on searching for a power bank.
The tool belt is not a fashion statement. It's a cortisol management system.
That's exactly what it is. And I think once you frame it that way, the goofy and unstylish concern evaporates. Who cares if you look a little silly in your own home if it means you're a calmer, more present parent?
I will say, though, Daniel did mention he'd be mortified to wear one in public, so there is a line.
There is a line, and I think the line is reasonable. You don't need to wear a utility belt to the grocery store, but in the apartment? And if you need to step out briefly, to grab the mail, to take Ezra to the park, the crossbody sling transitions seamlessly. Nobody looks twice at a crossbody bag. It's the chameleon of the carry world.
What about the move itself? They're packing up the apartment. That seems like a scenario where everything is chaos and the belt becomes even more valuable.
Moving day is peak belt justification. Think about it. You're packing boxes, which means everything is in flux. Nothing is where it usually is. The pacifiers might be in a box labeled Ezra Miscellaneous. The power bank might be in a box labeled Cables, Living Room. If your essentials are on your body, you're insulated from the chaos. You can function even when every surface is covered in packing tape and cardboard.
I'm now imagining Daniel in a full tactical rig, directing movers, pacifier and a carabiner, power bank in a molly pouch.
Honestly, that's not the worst image, but let's keep it practical. One thing I haven't mentioned yet is that whatever system he chooses needs to be comfortable enough to wear for hours. If it's digging into his shoulder or bouncing against his hip every time he bends over, he's going to take it off, set it down, and immediately lose it.
Comfort is the thing that determines whether a system actually gets used.
It's the number one predictor of adherence. In medicine, we talk about this all the time. You can prescribe the most effective treatment in the world, but if the patient hates doing it, they won't do it. Same principle applies here. The best carry system is the one you'll actually wear.
What's the comfort ceiling? What's the point where the system becomes too much?
I'd say the limit is about 1.5 pounds total, including all items. Beyond that, you start to feel it. For a belt system, the weight needs to be distributed evenly, not all hanging off one hip. For a sling, the strap needs to be wide enough not to dig in. Those are the two failure points, weight and pressure points.
For Daniel specifically, who's holding an 11-month-old, the system also can't interfere with the carry. If there's a pouch digging into Ezra's leg, that's a non-starter.
That's why I lean toward the running belt or the high chest sling. Both sit in places that are mostly out of the way when you're holding a baby. A hip belt can work if the pouches are positioned toward the back, but if they're on the front, they're right where Ezra's legs go.
Let's talk about the pacifier specifically, because that seems to be the item with the highest loss rate.
Pacifiers are uniquely losable. They're small, they're light, they roll under furniture, and babies have a talent for flinging them across the room with surprising velocity. The standard advice is to have about 6 to 10 pacifiers in rotation, but that doesn't help if they're all scattered around the apartment.
The belt needs a pacifier solution.
There are a few options. One is a pacifier clip, the little strap that attaches to the baby's clothing. But those are for the baby, not for the parent. For the parent, I'd recommend a small dedicated pouch that's easy to open one-handed. Some running belts have little elastic pockets that are perfect for this. Alternatively, you can use a small silicone pouch that clips to the outside of the belt. The key is one-handed access. If you need two hands to get a pacifier, you're putting the baby down, and the whole point is to avoid putting the baby down.
One-handed operation is a hard requirement.
For everything in the system, phone access, pacifier access, wipe access, all one-handed. This is where a lot of bags fail. They have zippers that require two hands or buckles that are fiddly. The best systems use magnetic closures or wide mouth openings that you can reach into without looking.
What about the power bank? That's the other item Daniel specifically mentioned losing.
The power bank is tricky because it's heavy relative to its size, and it has a cable. Cable management is the hidden challenge here. If the cable is dangling, it snags on things. If it's wrapped too tightly, it's slow to deploy. The best solution I've seen is a power bank with a built-in cable, something like the Anchor Nano series, where the cable is integrated. Failing that, a short 6-inch cable that lives permanently attached to the power bank with the whole thing in a dedicated pocket.
Built-in cable eliminates a whole category of problems.
It eliminates the where is the cable problem, which is its own special circle of frustration. And I'll add one more thing. The power bank pocket should ideally be positioned so that the phone can be in a different pocket with a cable running between them. If you have to hold the power bank and the phone together, you're back to two hands.
The system needs to accommodate a wired connection between two pouches.
Or go wireless. MagSafe power banks for iPhone or the Qi 2 equivalents eliminate the cable entirely. They just snap onto the back of the phone. The downside is they're bulkier and they can pop off if you bump them. But for around-the-house use, they're pretty good.
We're getting into the weeds on power bank specs, which I think is actually useful. This is the level of detail that makes the difference between a system that works and one that sits in a drawer.
That's the thing about this whole question. It sounds like a joke. Should I wear a tool belt for parenting? But when you actually break it down, there's a real engineering problem here. You're designing a personal carry system for a high-mobility, high-interruption environment with a demanding client who cannot communicate verbally and will scream if his needs aren't met.
The client is Ezra.
The client is Ezra, and he is not a reasonable client.
He's 11 months old. Reasonable is not in the job description.
So you design the system around the constraints. One-handed access, under 1.5 pounds, no pressure points in baby carrying zones, modular enough to adapt to different situations, and ideally, not so dorky that you can't answer the door without feeling self-conscious.
I think the self-consciousness piece is worth sitting with for a second. Daniel said he'd be mortified to wear one in public. There's something there about the aesthetics of parenting gear.
Parenting gear has always had an aesthetic problem. Diaper bags are basically just backpacks with more compartments, but they're marketed as this whole separate category with pastel colors and cutesy patterns. The tool belt for parenting feels like it belongs in the same awkward space. It's practical, but it's also a visual announcement that you are in full parent mode.
For some people, that's fine. For others, it feels like wearing a sign that says, "I have lost control of my life."
Which is unfair, but real. I think the crossbody sling solves this elegantly. It doesn't read as parenting gear. It reads as person who likes to have their stuff organized. Same function, completely different cultural signal.
The crossbody sling is the stealth bomber of parenting carry. The tool belt is the cargo plane. Both get the job done, but one draws less attention.
That's the analogy. And for Daniel, who is self-employed and occasionally on video calls, the stealth option probably makes more sense day to day. He can keep the sling on during calls. It just looks like he's dressed normally. A tool belt on a Zoom call requires some explaining.
Unless your client also has kids, in which case it's an instant bonding moment.
That's true. Parent solidarity is real. You see another parent with a clever hack and you immediately want to know everything about it.
Let's circle back to something you mentioned earlier that I want to pull on. You said the clip-on speaker is already part of the system. What's the workflow there? He's using voice-to-text for work. Walk me through how that actually looks in practice.
The way I understand it, Daniel has the clip-on speaker attached to his shirt or collar or belt. It's paired to his phone. He's listening to a podcast or an audiobook while he's doing parenting tasks. Feeding Ezra, cleaning up, whatever. When a work thought hits, he switches to voice-to-text and dictates something. A message, a note, an email draft. The speaker's microphone picks up his voice, the phone processes it, and the text appears.
This is a $15 device.
That's what he said. A $15 clip-on speaker. And that's the thing. You don't need expensive gear for this. A basic Bluetooth speaker with a microphone, clipped to your person, is enough to create a mobile audio workstation. The key insight is that it frees his hands. He's not holding a phone to his ear. He's not typing. He's just talking.
The speaker is the audio layer. The belt or sling is the physical layer, and together they create a kind of exoskeleton for getting things done.
An exoskeleton is exactly right. And I think for someone with ADHD, this kind of external scaffolding is not a luxury. It's closer to an accommodation. The same way glasses correct vision, these systems correct for working memory and attentional deficits. They bring the environment into alignment with how the brain actually works.
That's a good way to frame it. Not a crutch, not a gimmick.
Once you accept that framing, the whole question of, is this too goofy, becomes irrelevant. You wouldn't ask if glasses are too goofy. You need them to see. Daniel needs external systems to function at his best while caring for an infant and running a business. The only question is which system works best.
Let's give the concrete recommendation. Daniel, if you're listening, and you probably are, on a clip-on speaker while chasing Ezra, here's what we'd suggest.
Start with the crossbody sling. Bellroy Light Sling or Airday Sling, or if you want to go cheaper, the Lululemon Everywhere Belt Bag. Load it with phone in the front pocket, power bank in the back pocket with a short cable, or MagSafe, two pacifiers in a small silicone pouch clipped to the inside, a muslin square folded flat, a small pack of wipes, a snack bar, and your keys and wallet if you don't already have those on you.
Total cost, maybe $40 to $80 depending on the bag.
Try it for a week. If the sling swings around too much when you're bending down to pick up Ezra, switch to a running belt. Naked running band or similar. Same loadout, just distributed around your waist instead of across your chest. If that works, but you want more organization, then you can graduate to a modular belt system. But don't start there.
The clip-on speaker stays wherever it's most comfortable. Shirt collar, sling strap, belt. The goal is to have audio and essentials always within reach, no searching required.
One more thing, label the pouches. Not with a label maker, just mentally. This pouch is pacifiers, this pouch is power bank, this pouch is wipes. The consistency is what makes the system work. If you start throwing things in random pouches, you're back to searching.
The system only works if you respect the system.
Which is the hardest part for an ADHD brain. The impulse is to just stuff things wherever. But if you can build the habit, and it takes about 2 weeks of conscious effort, it becomes automatic. And then you've basically given yourself a working memory upgrade for $40.
That's a pretty good return on investment.
It's an incredible return on investment. And I'll say this too, Daniel, you're in a particularly hard phase right now. 11 months is peak mobility without peak communication. Ezra can move, but he can't tell you what he needs. You're preparing to move apartments. You and Hannah are both self-employed with no family nearby. This is objectively difficult. Anything that makes it even 10% easier is worth doing.
The move is temporary. The parenting is not. The systems you build now will evolve as Ezra gets older. But the principle, externalize what your brain can't reliably hold. That's forever.
That's the real takeaway. Whether it's a tool belt or a sling or a running belt or something we haven't thought of, the core insight is, don't rely on your memory. Build the environment so the environment does the remembering for you.
If you feel silly, remember that the only person whose opinion matters right now is 11 months old and thinks you're the greatest person in the world regardless of what's on your belt.
Ezra's not judging the pouch situation. He's just happy you have the snacks.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1973, a linguist working in Tajikistan proposed that the phonetic structure of Linear B, the syllabic script used for Mycenaean Greek, preserves acoustic traces of a pre-Greek substrate that may share properties with the undeciphered Linear A, based entirely on consonant-vowel distribution patterns in surviving clay tablets.
I have so many questions, none of them relevant.
Here's the open question I'm left with. We've talked about the physical carry system, but there's a whole other layer here that we barely touched. The digital system. Daniel's using voice to text. He's got a phone. There's probably a notes app, a task manager, a calendar. How does the physical system integrate with the digital one? Because the power bank keeps the phone alive, but what's on the phone matters just as much.
That might need to be its own episode.
It probably does. But the short version is, the phone is the brain, the belt is the body. The phone holds the information, the belt holds the physical objects, and the clip-on speaker is the interface between them. The whole thing is a distributed cognition network.
Which sounds grandiose, but is actually just an accurate description of what's happening. You've got computational power in your pocket, audio I/O on your collar, and essential supplies on your hip. It's a cyborg setup for parenting.
The cyborg dad. That's the brand.
Honestly, it's not a bad brand. Better than guy who can't find his power bank.
Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for the fact and for keeping this whole operation running. This has been My Weird Prompts. You can find every episode at My Weird Prompts. If you've got a question like Daniel's, practical, weird, or somewhere in between, send it our way. We're here for it.
Until next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on chew, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.